Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Deep Dive. You know, today we're going to be looking at a case that might sound kind of familiar, especially if you've ever been in a business partnership. You know, one of those where making decisions is like walking through a minefield. Have you ever thought about what happens if partners just can't agree on something like, I don't know, hiring a new employee?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. That's the exact situation we'll be digging into today. It all comes down to this 1971 case, Summers v. Dooley, ended up in the Idaho Supreme Court, no less. It's really a textbook example of how even little disagreements, in business, I mean, can turn into these huge legal battles where the courts have to figure out, you know, how do partners really make decisions, especially in those two-person partnerships.
Okay, so who were these guys? Summers and Dooley, I mean.
Right.
And what were they fighting about?
All right, so picture this. It's 1958. Two guys decide, hey, let's start a trash collection business. Seems pretty simple, right? They had this kind of like handshake agreement. Said if one guy couldn't work, the other would cover the cost of hiring a replacement. You know, practical stuff.
Yeah, totally. So when did things start going wrong?
Well, fast forward to 1966, and their partnership starts showing some cracks. Summers decides, hey, we need an extra employee, you know, because the business was growing. But Dooley, he wasn't having it. Thought it was an unnecessary expense.
All right, some tension there. What did Summers do?
Here's where it gets good. Instead of, you know, compromising or talking it out, Summers just went ahead and hired the extra guy, even though Dooley said no. And to make it even better, he sued Dooley, wanting him to pay for half of the new guy's costs.
Whoa, hold on. He just ignored his partner and then expected him to pay. Doesn't seem very partner-like to me.
Right, and the trial court seemed to agree, you know? They only gave Summers part of what he wanted, sent the whole case up to the Idaho Supreme Court.
Wait, so the court thought Dooley should pay something. That's where it gets tricky, right? What were they thinking?
Exactly. This is where the law gets interesting. The Idaho Supreme Court really focused on this question. Can one partner in a two-person setup just make a big decision like that, you know, hiring someone new, without the other guy agreeing? And you might be surprised, Idaho Code Section 53-318(8) says nope.
Here comes the majority rule, right? But with only two people? How does that even work?
That's the point. The Idaho Supreme Court zeroed in on that. In a two-person partnership, majority rule basically means you need both to agree. So Summers saying he could just hire whoever, well, that fell apart pretty fast.
So Summers was out of luck right from the start. I guess the law and common sense lined up this time.
Yep. The court basically said, you can't just force your partner into something, especially when it costs them money. The case really showed how important equal management rights are in a partnership.
So even though they didn't have some fancy contract, the law understood that both guys had to agree on how to run the business. That's a pretty big takeaway for anyone thinking of starting a partnership.
Absolutely. And it gets even more interesting. Summers tried to say that Dooley had impliedly ratified the hiring just because the business made more money with the extra help. But the court wasn't buying it.
Wait, so just because a business is doing well doesn't mean the partners are automatically okay with every decision? Seems like that could be a big loophole.
For sure. And it highlights why clear communication is so important. Dooley kept saying he didn't want to hire the extra guy, so even if the business was doing well, it didn't mean he agreed.
This is a perfect example of how things can get complicated fast.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Summers v. Dooley is a warning. Partners really have to agree, especially if they're changing things up.
Exactly. Summers v. Dooley shows how important it is to know your rights and responsibilities as a partner. But it also shows that you've got to communicate and try to get everyone on the same page. That can really save you from problems later.
All right, so we've covered the background of this case. We've talked about what Summers and Dooley were fighting over, and we've looked at why the Idaho Supreme Court made the decision it did. So where do we go from here? What are some of the bigger lessons we can learn from all this?
Well, we've seen that in a two-person partnership, both partners got to agree, especially for decisions that affect the money. Now, what we can do is look at how this idea of everyone agreeing plays out in other situations. You'd be surprised how often this comes up. It's not just for simple partnerships like Summers and Dooley had.
Okay, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
What other situations are we talking about here? Where else does this everyone agrees thing show up?
Think about those joint ventures, for example, right. You know, where two or more companies team up for a project, like building something or developing new software. Just like in a normal partnership, when they have to make big decisions that could affect the project, everyone needs to be on board.
So it's like a temporary partnership for a specific thing.
Exactly. And the same rules apply. Imagine two construction companies are working together to build a bridge. One company wants to use a certain type of steel because it's cheaper, but the other company is worried it won't be strong enough.
Oh, that could get messy. Deadlines, budgets, and now they can't agree on the materials.
Yeah. That's why it's so important for everyone to agree in these joint venture situations. If one company tries to force their decision, it could be a disaster. Delays, going over budget, even lawsuits.
So even though it might take more time at the beginning to make sure everyone's happy, in the end, it could save a lot of trouble. It's like that saying, measure twice, cut once, but for business.
Great analogy. And it's not just about avoiding fights. It's about recognizing that when everyone shares their knowledge and ideas, the project turns out better. That's how you get the best results.
Okay, I see how this idea goes beyond those basic two-person partnerships. What about those close corporations you mentioned? What are those exactly, and how does this everyone agrees thing work with them?
Good question. A close corporation is a company with only a few shareholders. Often, it's a small group who know each other well, maybe even family, and because they're so close, the law sometimes treats them differently than those giant companies you see on the stock market.
So it's kind of like a mix between a regular corporation and a partnership.
You got it. And since those shareholders are usually the ones running the company, a lot of states have special rules for close corporations. And guess what? They really emphasize the shareholders agreeing.
Ah, I see where you're going with this. So even though those shareholders own part of the company, they can't just do whatever they want. They need the others to agree.
That's the idea. In close corporations, the law wants to keep things fair and balanced between those shareholders. Some states even say everyone has to agree for big decisions.
Wow, everyone agreeing on the big stuff that makes sense when it's such a close group. What kind of decisions are we talking about here?
Big stuff, like changing the rules of the company, creating new shares that could change who owns what, or even selling the entire business. Those are major changes, and the law wants to make sure everyone has a say before things get shaken up.
Makes sense. That would stop one person from just taking over and ignoring everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you'd need your whole family to agree before selling your childhood home.
Exactly. It's all about respecting everyone who owns the company and making sure decisions are good for everyone. Speaking of families, guess where else this everyone agrees idea is important?
Let me guess. Family businesses. I can just imagine the drama when business decisions mix with family.
You nailed it. Family businesses are super interesting because they're built on shared history, trust, and values. But being so close can also make disagreements even harder to handle.
Right, because it's not just about making money. It's also about those personal relationships. You don't want to ruin Thanksgiving dinner because it's a business argument.
Exactly. Let's say there's a family bakery, been passed down for generations. The siblings who run it now can't agree on whether to open a second location. One wants to grow the business, the other is worried about taking on too much risk and maybe messing up their parents' legacy.
I can already feel the tension. Classic family business problem. Trying to balance being ambitious with keeping traditions alive and making everyone happy.
It shows why, even if the law doesn't require everyone to agree in a family business, it's still really important to try. It's about respecting everyone's opinions, finding solutions that work for the business and the family, and keeping those relationships strong.
This is amazing. We went from two guys with a trash business to bridge building companies to a family bakery. Who knew this whole everyone agrees thing was so important in so many situations?
It's pretty cool, right? It really shows how the law often reflects bigger ideas, like being fair, working together, and making decisions as a group. These ideas are important whether you're running a huge company or a small family business.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, thinking back to that Summers v. Dooley case, it really hits home how important this whole unanimous consent thing is. It's not just, like, following the rules.
Yeah.
It feels more like it's about making things fair, making sure everyone has a voice, you know?
Absolutely. You're spot on. It's about recognizing that everyone involved, whether it's a formal partnership or just a casual agreement, deserves to have their say and their interests protected.
Okay, so we talked about unanimous consent being like the golden rule in those two-person partnerships. But where else does this come up?
Well, think about those joint ventures we talked about.
Yeah.
Where two or more parties team up for a specific project, like, say, building a shopping center or developing a new software program. Just like with a regular partnership, when it comes to those big decisions that could impact the whole venture, ideally, you want everyone to be on the same page.
Right, like a temporary partnership for a specific goal.
Exactly. Same principles. Imagine two construction companies, they team up to build a bridge. One company is all about using a particular type of steel because it's cost effective, but the other company. they've got serious doubts about its durability, you know, the safety aspect.
Whoa, that could get messy fast.
Mm-hmm.
Deadlines, budgets, and now this big disagreement about the material.
Exactly. And that's precisely why consensus is so crucial in these joint venture scenarios. If one company tries to push its way through, it's a recipe for disaster. Delays, costs skyrocketing, even legal battles.
So even if it means taking a little extra time up front to make sure everyone's on board, it can actually save a ton of headaches down the road. Kind of like that saying, measure twice, cut once, but for business decisions.
Perfect analogy. And it's not just about avoiding conflict, it's also recognizing that the project benefits when everyone's expertise is considered. You know, all those different perspectives. That's how you get the best outcome.
Okay, starting to see how this unanimous consent goes beyond those basic two-person partnerships. What about those close corporations? You mentioned them earlier. What exactly are they, and how does unanimous consent fit in?
Great question. A close corporation is a type of corporation, but with a limited number of shareholders. Often, it's a small group of people who know each other well, could even be family members. And because they're so close, the law treats them a little differently than those giant corporations you see on the stock exchange.
So like a hybrid,
yeah.
Kinda, between a traditional corporation and a partnership.
Exactly. And since those shareholders are often directly involved in managing the company, many states have rules specifically for close corporations. And guess what? They put a lot of emphasis on, you guessed it, shareholder agreement.
Ah, I see where this is going. So even though they technically own a piece of the company, they can't just go off and make big decisions without the other shareholders agreeing.
That's the gist. In close corporations, the law gets the importance of keeping things harmonious and balanced. Some states even go as far as requiring unanimous shareholder consent for major decisions.
Wow, unanimous consent for big decisions that make sense, given how close-knit these corporations are. What kind of decisions are we talking about?
Think about things like changing the company's core documents, issuing new stock that might dilute existing ownership, even selling the entire business. These are huge decisions, and the law wants to make sure everyone's voice is heard.
I get it. That would definitely prevent one shareholder from just calling all the shots and ignoring everyone else. Like, you'd need a whole family vote before selling your child at home.
Right? Exactly. It's about respecting that collective ownership, making sure decisions benefit everyone.
And speaking of families, guess where else this principle of unanimous consent often pops up?
Let me guess. Family businesses. I can only imagine the drama that unfolds when business mixes with family. Bingo! Family businesses are so interesting because they're built on this foundation of, like, shared history, trust, values. But that same closeness can sometimes make disagreements even harder.
Right, because it's not just about profits and losses. Mm-hmm. It's about protecting those personal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to ruin family dinners because of a business argument.
Exactly. Let's say you have a family-owned bakery that's been around for generations. The siblings who run it now are totally at odds about expanding, opening a second location. One sibling is all for it, wants that growth, while the other one's worried about the risk, maybe jeopardizing what their parents built.
Oof, I can already sense the tension. That's a classic dilemma for family businesses, balancing ambition with tradition, trying to keep everyone happy along the way.
And it really highlights why, even if the law doesn't always require it, aiming for that strong consensus is crucial in family businesses. It's about respecting everyone's views, finding solutions that work for the business and the family, and ultimately preserving those relationships.
This is so eye-opening. We started with two guys hauling trash in Idaho, then we went to joint ventures building bridges, and now we're talking about family-owned bakeries facing tough choices. Who knew this whole unanimous consent thing had so many applications?
It is fascinating, right? And it really drives home the point that the law often reflects these deeper principles of fairness, collaboration, making decisions together, principles that matter whether you're running a massive company or a small family business.
I think our listeners are getting a real masterclass in practical legal wisdom today. So we've covered how this idea of unanimous consent plays out in different legal scenarios, from partnerships to closed corporations to family businesses. But I'm curious, are there any situations where it might not apply?
Ah, that's a great question. You see, the law isn't always this rigid, one-size-fits-all thing. There are always exceptions, those gray areas, where the specific details of the situation can lead to different outcomes.
Okay, so tell us about those exceptions. When might unanimous consent not be absolutely necessary?
Well, for starters, the partnership agreement itself might outline specific situations where a majority vote is enough, even in a two-person partnership. For example, partners could decide that routine day-to-day stuff, like ordering supplies or scheduling employees, doesn't need everyone to sign off.
So it really comes down to what the partners decide up front, right? Setting those ground rules so everyone's clear on how decisions will be made, that could help avoid confusion later on.
Exactly. That's why having a well-written partnership agreement that clearly spells out the decision-making process for different issues is so, so important. Saves a lot of potential headaches and conflicts later on.
That makes sense. What other exceptions are there? Are there situations where the law might recognize that unanimous consent just isn't practical?
Definitely. Think about emergency situations. Let's say one partner suddenly can't make decisions and something needs to happen fast to protect the partnership, like signing a contract or preventing a big financial loss.
Okay, so in those high-stakes situations where every second counts, the law might allow the other partner to act alone, even without getting consent.
That's right. The law often has to balance different interests. And in these cases, it's weighing unanimous consent against the need to act quickly to prevent damage.
This is getting really nuanced. It seems like applying these legal principles in real life can get pretty complicated, with all sorts of factors to consider.
It absolutely can. And that's why getting advice from a lawyer is so important when you're dealing with partnership issues, especially for big decisions that could really change things. An experienced attorney can help you navigate the law and make sure your partnership is set up for success.
So we talked about partnership agreements and emergencies as potential exceptions to this general rule of unanimous consent. Are there any other scenarios where this principle might not be applied so strictly?
Oh, for sure. Sometimes the nature of the decision itself matters. Like if a decision is relatively minor, doesn't really have a major impact on the partnership, the partners might be more flexible, allow a majority vote.
Okay, so it's kind of like a sliding scale. The bigger the decision, the more likely everyone needs to be on board.
You got it. It goes back to finding that balance between fairness and practicality. Requiring unanimous consent for every single little thing could really bog down a business and prevent it from running smoothly.
Yeah, I can see how that would get frustrating and slow everything down. So even though unanimous consent is super important for protecting everyone's interests, it's not a hard and fast rule in every single situation. Sometimes you need some flexibility.
Exactly. It's about finding what works best for your specific partnership, considering the nature of your business, the relationships involved, and the potential impact of each decision.
This has been such an insightful conversation. I think our listeners are really getting a good grasp of partnership law, the importance of communication consensus, and why having a solid partnership agreement is so key.
And remember, even when the law doesn't specifically demand unanimous consent, it's often a good idea to try and get everyone on board anyway. Creating an environment where everyone feels heard, respected, and involved in decision-making builds a much stronger and more successful partnership.
That's great advice. It's not just about what's legally required. It's about doing what's best for the partnership as a whole. So we've covered the basics of unanimous consent, how it applies in different situations, even looked at those exceptions in gray areas. But our deep dive isn't quite finished, is it? What's next on the agenda?
You're right. We've laid the groundwork, but now it's time to put all this knowledge to the test. In our final segment, we're going to delve into a real-life case study, something that brings all these concepts to life. It's a case that really shows what can go wrong when one partner tries to go it alone and why legal advice is so important when things get complicated.
Ooh, I'm intrigued. I can't wait to see how all this plays out in a real-world scenario. I bet our listeners are ready to test their unanimous consent knowledge, too.
Join us for the grand finale. We'll unpack this case study and uncover even more practical insights that you can apply to your own partnerships.
All right, welcome back to the deep dive. We've spent the last two parts, really digging into this whole unanimous consent thing. Started with Summers v. Dooley, that classic case, and then talked about how this idea shows up in joint ventures, close corporations, even those family businesses.
And we even found some situations where, maybe unanimous consent isn't 100% necessary. Like if the partners have an agreement with different rules for voting or when there's an emergency and someone has to act fast.
Exactly. We've got this solid foundation now, but now it's time to see this stuff in action. Ready for a case study, one that'll really put your knowledge to the test.
Absolutely. Let's jump into a real life scenario where one partner decided to go it alone, and it ended up causing a legal battle. Brought them right back to that whole unanimous consent debate.
Okay, I'm all ears. What kind of business are we talking about here? Mm-hmm. And what exactly went wrong?
Okay, so picture this. A small tech startup. Two friends. super excited about this app idea they have. They're equal partners, each bringing their own skills to the table.
Classic startup story. I can already see them, hunched over their laptops, fueled by coffee, you know?
Huh.
Living that startup dream. What was this amazing app all about?
We'll keep the app details under wraps for now. Let's just say it had the potential to be huge, you know, a real game changer. And at first, everything was going great. They were coding, coming up with marketing plans, feeling on top of the world.
But then what happened? The partnership hit a snag? There's always a twist.
You know it. One of the partners, we'll call him Alex, decided they needed to hire this big shot marketing consultant, someone with a big name and a big fee to match. Alex was sure this consultant was the ticket to making their app a success.
That's a pretty bold move, especially for a brand new startup. What did the other partner, Ben, think about this?
Oh, Ben was not so sure. He was really worried about the cost, especially because they were funding everything themselves. Every dollar mattered. Ben thought they could handle the marketing themselves for now and maybe think about a consultant later when they had more money.
Ah, classic partnership dilemma, right? Two partners, two different opinions about a big decision. Sounds like trouble's brewing.
You got it. And that's when things went off the rails. Alex was so convinced he was right and that they had to act fast that he just went ahead and hired the consultant without even talking to Ben.
No way. He pulled a Summers. Just ignored his partner completely. Did he not learn anything from Summers v. Dooley?
Apparently not. It just goes to show you, real life is a lot messier than those law books. Emotions run high. People make decisions they wish they could take back.
So what did Ben do when he found out about this consultant? I bet he wasn't happy.
Happy doesn't even begin to describe it. He was furious. Felt totally betrayed. Like Alex didn't respect him or their agreement to make decisions together. It wasn't just about the consultant anymore. It was about trust, the whole foundation of their partnership.
Wow. So it became about way more than just a marketing plan. This is about those basic partnership principles, right? Mutual respect, communication, making decisions as a team.
Exactly. Ben saw this as Alex just trying to take control. Like, he didn't value Ben's opinion at all.
So what did Ben do? Did he just accept this expensive new consultant?
Nope, not a chance. He took a cue from Mr. Dooley and refused to pay for the consultant. He said he never agreed to it, so he shouldn't have to pay.
And that's when the lawyer stepped in. This is getting serious.
You got it. Their friendship, their partnership, it all turned into this huge legal mess. Each side dug in, convinced they were right.
This is painful and expensive. Could they have avoided this whole thing? Was there a way for Alex and Ben to work this out without ending up in court?
Absolutely. This whole situation is like a textbook example of why those principles we've been talking about are so crucial. Clear communication, a solid partnership agreement, and, of course, that unanimous consent.
If Alex and Ben had just taken a breath, talked honestly about their concerns, listened to each other, maybe they could have found a solution. Maybe explored different marketing options, agreed on a smaller budget, or at least figured out a better way to make big decisions together.
Exactly. But by going solo, Alex basically broke that partnership trust, that mutual respect that's so important for any collaboration, whether it's business or even just personal relationships.
This case really shows that even in the startup world, where things move fast and you have to adapt quickly, you can't just ignore unanimous consent.
It's a good reminder that taking shortcuts, even if you think you're doing what's best for the business, can really backfire. It can lead to legal problems, broken relationships, and ultimately hurt the very thing you're working so hard to build.
It all goes back to what we've been saying all along, right? Two enthusiastic yeses are way better than one yes, and a whole lot of anger and legal bills.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This case, along with everything else we talked about, really gives you a good idea of how partnerships work and how to make them successful.
So we're wrapping up this deep dive into unanimous consent. We started with that trash collection case in Idaho, and now we're here talking about a modern-day tech startup. We've covered a lot of ground.
Remember, whether you're starting a tech company, running a family business, or doing anything together, communication, respect, and making decisions together are key.
It's not about winning arguments. It's about building something strong, where everyone feels valued and can contribute.
And if you ever hit a roadblock, a disagreement that seems impossible to solve, don't be afraid to talk to a lawyer. They can help you understand the legal stuff, create a strong partnership agreement, and make sure everyone feels protected and heard.
Great advice. Well, that's a wrap for our deep dive into unanimous consent. We've covered a lot about partnership law, the importance of working together, and how to build strong partnerships.
Remember, it's not about winning or losing. It's about working together, communicating openly, and building something successful.
Thanks for joining us on this legal adventure. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep those partnerships strong, those agreements crystal clear, and those legal minds sharp.